For scripture reading, we turn to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did marrow as a dove. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the string instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, What is the sign? That I shall go up to the house of the Lord. So far, we read from Scripture. And the text we consider this afternoon is verse 19. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Dearly beloved people of God, when we look to Scripture to find passages that speak about covenant instruction, that speak about what we vow that we will do when we bring our children for baptism, instruct them in the aforesaid doctrine. When we look to Scripture for passages on that calling, that work, that covenant work, this is one of them. That it speaks of Hezekiah after he had gone through a very severe trial. We read of him crying, that he wept sore when God had spoken to him through the prophet and said, "Thou shalt die and not live." And then he describes what it was like for him. He was afflicted with a disease, an illness. And he says, "God will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me." But the Lord came to him and said, "I will add unto thy days 15 years. And then the writing of which we read is said to have been the writing of Hezekiah when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. And in this passage, he speaks about the Father as the living Father. Just having been told that he was going to die, and now he's told he's going to live. He's going to continue to live for a time. And as he thinks on that, he says, the living, he shall praise thee. And of course, when we think of the life we have, we think not only of the life, however long it may be in this life, but the fact that forever we will live and will praise God. But we take note of the fact that it's the living Father that speaks here. It's the one, as he says, the living, he shall praise thee. The Father to the children. We consider, first of all, the living Father. Secondly, we take note of the education that is spoken of here. The Father making known to the children the truth. Making it known. On the one hand, God does a wondrous work of grace in our children. They're sanctified in Christ. He puts the word of truth in their heart. Yet it's our calling to make that truth known to them, that they come to conscious awareness of that truth, which is in their heart. They come consciously aware of it under the proclamation of the word. And also as we are instructing them in our homes, as we're passing down the truth that was passed down to us. We do that as those who have been delivered. We do that as those that are conscious of the fact that we've been delivered from death. And out of thankfulness for our salvation, we give that instruction. We notice also that that instruction is certain. The living, he shall. praise thee as I do. This day the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. This instruction is certain. We also look at this in connection with the coming to the Lord's Supper. For when we examine ourselves, we are to consider the death that we deserve. Which applies also in this passage when you think of what Hezekiah thought as he heard the word, you're going to die. We think of the death that we deserve. We think of our own sins, our own iniquities, and the death that we deserve. That's part of self-examination. Part of self-examination also is examining our heart, whether we believe the truth that for Christ's sake, we're forgiven. That God has cast all our sins behind his back. That we examine our heart, whether we believe that. We believe we're forgiven. We believe that we're alive. That we shall live. And also as we examine ourselves, we examine our own conscience, whether we are purposing to show true thankfulness to God. And here we consider how we show thankfulness to God. We show our love for God. We show our love for God's people, making known the truth to the coming generation. We consider this text under the theme, the Father to the children, the living Father, the covenant education, and the certain instruction. Hezekiah speaks here about the judgment that came upon him, the word that came upon him, the trial that he went through. This is a very significant event. It appears in relatively the middle of the prophecy of Isaiah, and it also appears elsewhere in 2 Chronicles, we read of it, and also in 2 Kings. There's a reference to this event pointing out the significance of it, that in multiple places we have a reference to it. Hezekiah talked about how when he was afflicted, how he mourned, how he grieved. And as we think about the judgment, the word that came to him here, it's important for us to consider the timing. When Hezekiah was told this, this was before the birth of Manasseh. Manasseh is referred to in Matthew chapter 1 in the line of Christ. We read that Hezekiah begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and so on in Matthew. And that line leads to, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who's called Christ. This was before the birth of that Manasseh that is written of here, that this event took place that is spoken of here. And that we think of that too as he says, the Father to the children. That he's a relatively young man. Perhaps like around 39 years old. And at that age, before the birth of Manasseh, he is told he's going to die. And he speaks of that in the cutting off of his days. And he grieves. And he turns to God and he groans. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn. as a dove, mine eyes fail with looking upward. He mourned and he looked up. And he heard the news, and God told him. God came to him through the prophet and told him he would add to his years. Hezekiah received that news with joy. And he thought about the fact that God had cast all of his sins behind his back. But certainly he thought about the fact that he deserved to die, that God had spared him. God had delivered him, and he understood God had forgiven him. For the sake of the coming Christ, God had forgiven him. The living are the ones that praise God. Now I wonder, what does that mean when he says, the living are the ones that praise God? Well, when we look at the context, he says, the grave cannot praise thee, verse 18. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down in the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Now, when we read that, that brings to our remembrance, there's a number of times in the Psalms that we sing similar statements. In Psalm 6, verse 5, for in death there's no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? Who's going to give thee thanks in the grave? There's no remembrance of God in death. So it says. We think of the Psalm 30. Psalm 30 says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? And so on. There's numerous passages that speak the same way. Psalm 115. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. And some have used that to support the air of soul sleep, because it says the dead don't praise God. They go down into silence. Well, we recognize that the child that this is not speaking about soul sleep. We don't sleep in our soul. That in our soul, we know that when we die in our soul, we immediately go up to Christ. And we think of the joy of the saint that the saints have in their soul. In their soul. In their spirit, they're alive. But for a time in their body, they're dead. And their bodies are laid into the grave. One of the things this pictures to us, when we see this praise, the living praise thee, is that it makes us think about the fact that the principle is that it is the living that praise God. Say, what about the saints that have died? They're praising God, but they're alive. They're alive. It is the living that praise God. In their spirit, they are alive and they praise God. In Psalm 118, we say, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. It's the living. It's the living that declare the works of the Lord. And we're alive. We're alive from the dead. And that makes us think of what Hezekiah experienced. Thought he was told he's going to die, and then he's told that his life is extended. He's still going to die, but there's going to be an extension to his days, which was God's plan all along. It wasn't that God's plan had changed. But we think about what Hezekiah experienced, hearing he's going to die, and then being told he's going to continue to live. And it makes us think of the fact that God says to us in Romans 6, Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Alive from the dead. As those that have been crucified with Christ, risen with Christ, even as baptism signifies, alive from the dead. Praise comes from the living, from those that are thankful, from those that know they're forgiven. When referring to us sinners, it comes from forgiven sinners who are thankful for our salvation. And as we examine ourselves, we are to consider the death we deserve. We're to consider our sin and the curse. We're to think about the curse. You and I are to spend time this week thinking about that. We're not to just forget about this and to come a week from today and having never given it a second thought. But we're to think about our own sin, and the curse we deserve. We're to come as those that believe that this is true, that this is true of you, of me, that we come as those that say, "Thou hast cast my sins," not only to say it in general about God's people, that thou hast cast the sins of God's people behind his back, but my sins. Thou hast cast all my sins. All of them. Behind thy back. We are to come as those that believe that. As those who believe that we're forgiven, we're alive. Death goes with being guilty. The punishment for sin is death. Christ died that we might be forgiven and that we might be raised to life. We're forgiven. We're raised. We have a heavenly life. We're to come as those that are believing that. Living fathers, applying that specifically to the Father. When we give this instruction to our children, we're to give it as those that know ourselves what deliverance is, what forgiveness is, that we ourselves have received the comfort of forgiveness. We ourselves have received deliverance. We ourselves are alive from the dead. As living fathers, we give that instruction. Indeed, confession of faith is before standing here and making a vow at baptism. When we stand and make our vow at baptism, it makes us think about the fact that it wasn't too long ago that we were just a little bit farther back standing up and making confession of our faith. And indeed, we make a confession of our faith before we bring our child up too. We stand up and we answer questions about what we believe. We confess our faith. And then when we hear about our calling to give that instruction to our children, we're to give that instruction as those that are alive with a spiritual life that is found only in Christ Jesus. And to confess that Christ For us to live is Christ. Christ's life. We've been saved by his life. As those that are alive, we give ongoing instruction in covenant education. We often call this covenant education. Someone might ask us why we refer to it as that. We use the word covenant a lot. There are those in other churches that would not hear the word covenant mentioned nearly as often and hear the word covenant used as an adjective so often. Covenant children, covenant instruction, covenant calling. We very often use that term. It brings to our mind the fact that God has made a covenant with us. Then we think of the covenant with Abraham. We think of the covenant with David. Hezekiah, son of David. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father. We think of God's covenant with David, that from his line, from his seed, the Messiah would come. God makes his covenant with us, and we recognize that the covenant promise, what he promises that he will do is that he will save us and our children, and he saves us by the work of his efficacious grace. He reveals himself to us, and we commune with him. And we say, well, the covenant is communion. And one of the things you see throughout the scriptures is you see God talking to his people and his people talking to God. There's a constant back and forth communion. Many people, what they worship, they don't commune with what they worship. Many worship a God that's not alive. You couldn't commune with something that's not alive. We commune with the living God. He talks to us. We talk with him. God makes known to us the truth. And he speaks to us the truth through our parents. If our parents hold to the truth, if we're raised in a believing home, then we will hear that truth taught through our parents and recognize that God is instructing us through the parents that he's given us. Now, it's calling for children to be honoring and submissive to parents, even if their parents are not walking in truth. We recognize that. But we're talking here now about believing parents and their calling in the covenant, and how God speaks to their children through them. Through them. The father to the children. Now, it's the calling of the mother as well, of course, to make known that truth. But we take a look specifically at the great significance of the fact that the father gives instruction. He's the spiritual leader. That us who are fathers recognize that it is the case that we are the spiritual leaders in the home. That is our calling. And it is our calling to make known the truth to our children, not only through our wife, not only through the church, not only through the schools, although it is those. It is the case that it points out the great importance of marrying someone of like faith, that a godly man marries a woman of like faith who's going to teach the children the truth. that she holds to the same truth. And what a great blessing it is for us to see children marrying those who confess the same truth, that the husband can know and does know that his wife is teaching the children the truth. And it is certainly the case that teaching them the truth means we bring them to church where the truth is taught, that that's where we are. That we are at a place where we can answer honestly the questions about believing the scriptures, the articles of the Christian faith, and as is taught here. That we be at a place, that we be coming, gathering together with those of like faith where the truth is taught. And it does mean that there's great importance also during the week that the children are taught the principles of the Word of God. And what a great blessing it is also for us to have our schools, so that we know that the same instruction is being given in the schools as is given in the church from the pulpit and in the catechism room. But it's also true that the Father gives a great deal of the instruction directly, where he is speaking directly to his sons and his daughters, making known the truth as one who has come to, as one who is conscious that he is alive by the grace of God, to whom that truth is precious, that he passes it down. That he passes it down as one who is conscious of his own sinfulness, as one that's on guard. At whatever age that we're on guard, it is quite striking with regard to this specific statement of Hezekiah that when we read elsewhere, we read of in 2 Chronicles 32, in verse 24, it speaks about the same thing, that he was delivered of the sickness. But then it says, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. That's quite striking after you read this statement. And then you read this. But then you read that Hezekiah was humbled again. He was a child of God. So he had times when he was given into pride. His heart was lifted up. We read, of course, in Scripture about how he was showing off all of his things to the messengers from Babylon. But then it says, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So when you look at other references to this history, there's that too. Bringing out to us that as we give instruction as not only those that have experienced the deliverance, but also those that are on guard against our own pride, that we're still in the midst of the battle in this life. That on the one hand, we've been called out. We've been separated unto God. We have new life that we cannot lose. Yet we also, through this life, are going to have a battle. And we give instruction to our children, warning them while heeding the warning ourselves, as those who themselves are on guard. in the spiritual battle, looking to God, recognizing that we don't have any strength of our own. Our enemies cease not to assault us. We don't have any strength, but in God we're strong. And that we go to Him for the strength we need. We pray to Him for forgiveness. And we go to Him for the ongoing strength that we need. And we're constantly looking to His Word to prepare for bringing the Word to the children. If we're going to make known the truth, we've got to be looking into it ourselves. And we recognize that. The depths of the Word of God. We all recognize that we barely scratch the surface of it. We say that so frequently, but it's so very true. That we recognize we're supposed to be able to explain what's written here. From passage to passage, to be able to explain to our children, what's this story about? What does it mean? We only begin to be able to do that, but certainly the more we look to His Word, the more we learn what's been passed down to us. The more we study the principles ourselves on our own, the more we can explain various passages. That we grow ourselves. And when we think of that, the calling of fathers and mothers to make known the truth to the children, that brings out to us how we must constantly grow. Something that's often brought out, too, when young people make confession of faith. They've matured to the point to make confession of their faith. And we rejoice to see and hear their confession and recognize that they have grown. To be able to make the kind of confessions, the confessions that we hear. But yet also how much we still need to grow. Growing in wisdom and knowledge. That we then may pass down that instruction to the coming generation. Teaching it by words. Giving that instruction also by our example, so that it is evident not only that we state the truth, but that we ourselves are walking in truth. And of course, that's the calling of all of us. It's the church's calling to instruct the coming generation. We work together at this. That we all together are working together in the rearing of the covenant seed. And when we are examining ourselves, the third thing that we look at is whether we are purposing to show true thankfulness to God in our whole life and to walk in true love. We show love for God when we're loving the church, loving His people, loving His children. And one way we show that love for the children is by making known the truth to them. All the hours, all the time, all the patience, all the work that's involved in making known the truth to the children is an act of love. This instruction will happen. It has been happening. God made His covenant with His people. And we think of how we read in the scripture of events so long ago. And we think about how God has been saving His covenant people from generation to generation. That truth has been passed down. And although there have been those that have been cut off in their generations, it is still the case that from generation to generation, the truth has been passed down. The church has been preserved. Though the location of that church has changed from time to time, places where the truth once was, it may be the case that if you go there today, you can't find a place where the truth is proclaimed. Yet it has still been the case that from generation to generation, God has preserved his people. The living shall praise God. The living, he shall praise thee. The Father who's alive, he shall make known the truth to his children. That although we fail in many ways, and the older we get, the more we see that though in many ways we fall short of the mark, yet it is the case that those whom God has quickened will be thankful. And that instruction is passed down from generation to generation. And we make that confession, as I do this day, that Hezekiah at this moment made that confession. He shall praise thee as I do today. The living in the coming generations shall also praise God as we do today. It shall continue from generation to generation. That the praise of our covenant God will continue. That we will be blessed. That we will praise him in the house of our God. It is interesting, too, to notice that Hezekiah was concerned about coming into the house of God. He didn't simply say, "What is the sign that I shall live?" But his question was, "What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord?" That is what he wanted to do. That's characteristic of somebody that's alive. They want to go up to the house of the Lord. And as we see that in ourselves, we recognize it's God's grace. As we see it in our children, that though by nature they don't want to go, yet we see in Christ they do. We see the work of the Spirit, the blessings promised in the line of generations. What a deliverance we have. What a comfort we have. And what a high calling we have in Christ Jesus. Out of thankfulness for what he has done, may we make known the truth of our God to the coming generation. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we are thankful for thy word of truth. We are thankful for the covenant into which we and our children have been brought. May we think about our deliverance. May we think about the wonderful comfort and of our calling. And as we examine ourselves in this coming week, may we, O Lord, grow to see our own sin. And may we grow in our sorrow for that sin, turning unto thee for forgiveness, believing the truth of the gospel, and purposing to do what is pleasing unto thee, and to pass down that wonderful truth that thou hast made known unto us. Grant this grace to us and to all thy people, for Christ's sake. Amen.